cum vă reușește să transmiteți cunoștințe discipolilor?
It's a pleasure. I think one of the good things to come out of this crisis has been the way we've all worked together in our country as a national education community. I think when I look at colleagues in schools in, say, the UK, my own country, or the United States, and look at the ambiguity and the chaos around how schools have been struggling to cope with this, I'm actually really proud of what the Ministry of Moldova has done across our schools. What we did at Heritage International School is we recognised quite early on how this was a matter of when and not if, and so we had to get a preparation and a plan ready. And I kept remembering an old phrase from a mentor: good leaders see around corners. I think what's important is that every school has a solution for its own community, and with Heritage we did have the digital technology to be able to go to the distance learning plan that we have, but we've made it clear there are many ways of ensuring the basic, which all children should have the entitlement to learn, even during this crisis. And there were two principles that guided me. The first one is the principle of the mindset that this was now a new normal. We had to go from this starting point. And the second one is that the school was still open. It was only the campus that was closed. And in many respects, we're now revolutionising education for the 2020s in the way that learning, I don't think this will ever go back to how it used to be. And I will finish this answer with a comment that was made at a conference at Jan Krenger University a few weeks ago. The best assets of Moldova are its people. And so in our community, parents, teachers, support staff, our students have all come together, our founders, to make this model work. And although it hasn't had a manual to kind of guide us completely, together we've made sure our students have continued daily, interactive, meaningful learning. This is exactly what we showed the Minister and the State Secretary and all the officials and all our colleagues across Moldova, that we could be positive and actually we could do something which would help children deal with this crisis with their routines and with their education.
Autoritățile au anunțat vacanță forțată a elevilor până la 15 mai. Fiind vorba de mai bine de o lună și jumătate, ținând cont că e perioada nu doar de încheiere a anului școlar, ci și de desfășurarea procesului de finalizare a treptelor de școlarizare, mulți profesori se gândesc la modul cel mai serios cum se transferă sala de clasă acasă. Sunteți o instituție de elită și problema e mult mai ușor să fie rezolvată. Ce sfaturi ați avea pentru minister, pentru școlile din mediul rural, acolo unde mulți copii încă nu au telefoane atât de performante ca să poată această instruire de la distanță să fie una de calitate? Ce sfaturi, ce sugestii ați avea dumneavoastră în aceste condiții?
I think that's a really good question. It was one of the challenges we ourselves raised with the minister and the state secretary, to not see our model as the model that should be the uniform one, because it was based on our digital capabilities. But I would also say it's not just a question about the resources of the school, because there are many private schools in Moldova who are on a similar position to us that didn't go over to this plan and are now struggling to also find a solution. And what I will say is I'll pay tribute to those officials and those educators, like the State Secretary Guru, who recognised quite quickly that a solution had to be found, which was practical, bearing in mind the rural nature of lots of schools in Moldova, the fact that teachers needed training urgently, the fact that this crisis is going to go on for so long and miss so much school. And so to answer directly, this requires not a managerial approach waiting for an audit. It requires the leadership from communities and schools in those areas to take the initiative to make sure their children get some form of meaningful education. And this is all about context and community, and therefore there are lots of offline solutions that can be deployed to continue education. So, for example, I know in some rural parts of the United States, the principal has got his team together. They have collected the paper resources, the books, to create like a homework pack for 2 months, and they've physically driven their cars to every house to deliver the materials for these children.
Și totuși, Republica Moldova este un stat sărac. Unii copii pot rămâne mult în urmă cu pregătirea din cauza lipsei posibilităților și al accesului la internet sau calculatoare. Ce se poate întreprinde pentru a ridica calitatea educației în aceste condiții?
But this is where there are lots of offline solutions. It's not just about occupying students' time. So, for example, school communities are devising schedules which have a reading hour placed in them. They're devising creativity hours where people can paint or people can make something, certainly for younger children. People are using the time for mathematics, for numeracy. And even in some of the most remote rural areas, people still have a telephone to be able to communicate verbally the instructions or the directions. But I think the idea of doing nothing isn't an option. UNICEF published figures this week. 80% of children around the world now, in all sorts of contexts, in poorer contexts than Moldova, are now not attending school. That's 1.4 billion children, possibly for the next 2 or 3 months. And Moldova has good education networks. It's got a good drive from the ministry. So teachers talk to one another, teachers swap ideas. The concept of this model is the one that everybody has to copy is a false one.